Hello, everybody, and welcome to Kentucky Ag Matters, a podcast designed to inform and educate both producers and consumers about all matters affecting agriculture. On this week's show, David and Vicki will sit down with Whitney Carman, Grayson County Extension Agent for Agriculture and Natural Resources, and as always, we will wrap things up with this week's timely tip. Thanks so much for joining us, and hope you enjoy the show. Hello, David.
Hey, Vicki. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Enjoy the drive up to the Grayson County Extension office.
Absolutely.
Got to see some different country.
We did, and the sun is shining, and you know, spring is always that time of year that everybody's enjoys seeing the green grass again before we get tired of mowing it, of course.
Yeah.
But
next week for me.
Well, I actually mowed last week, so.
But of course, when this show airs, it'll be on down. We should have planting season on the other side of planting season for most part. Yeah, you know,
Let's
if nothing bad happens. So, I'm already tired of mowing grass, and we just got started.
You know, when we mowed last week, my husband and I and Jamie said, you know, the worst part is when you mow that first time.
You got to keep on.
You got to keep doing it. So
I did put it off until the 1st of April. I did not mow. I will not mow in March. I just will not. I saw some people mow in February this year, by the way, which I thought was pretty crazy. But, but I will not mow until April 1. I just won't do it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like getting your hair cut during whatever that month is. You're not supposed to get a haircut. I won't do that. But it's the same principle.
I understand. And I don't know about you, but, you said you haven't mowed yet.
I have mowed.
Oh, you have. Okay. Well.
Twice.
We spend as much time picking up limbs.
Yeah.
You know, the first time, excuse me, then picked, you know, I said, I thought we was mowing.
Yeah.
Well, we picked up a lot of limbs.
Did you say, Jamie, you should already have these picked up? Didn't you say that?
No, I didn't say it. I might have thought it maybe, but no. No, I'm just kidding. No. No, I'm going to be nice. You know, he's having some knee problems, so trying to help him out all I can. But
I understand.
But anyway, we do want to say thank you to the Grayson County folks here for letting us use their office and be such a nice host for us, because we do like to travel a little bit. We do like to make it as easy on our guests as we can. And so to that point, we'd like to welcome Miss Whitney Carman. As I said, she's the ag agent here in Grayson County, and we're excited to have her. I know Dave and I have worked with her for a few years now. And
I've known her for a long time.
Yes, I'm understanding that. The conversations before the show, you always learn a little bit there. But welcome, and we are glad you are here with us. So.
Well, thank you for having me. Yeah. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad you guys got to come to Grayson County on a nice day.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, you never know. We might come back.
Hey, that's okay. You're welcome anytime.
This is way a lot better than staff.
Uh-huh.
Whitney and I are in the same area.
We are.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah,
so,
I forgot.
Yeah. So this is better than staff any day.
Yes. I agree with that. And we do host staff from time to time. And those days are, while I appreciate my employment, these days are, they can be a little grueling.
That is true.
That is putting it really nice. Really nice.
Yes.
I can think of a lot of other words to describe that, but that's not one of them.
Hey, I'm trying to stay employed.
I understand. We're in two different places.
That's right.
Well, Jay could not be with us today. Usually for our regular listeners, you'll notice that our beginning of the show, that was not Mr. Jay Stone, but he couldn't be with us today. So hopefully he'll be back with us the next time we record. So.
Yep.
But Whitney, you know, one of the things we're going to be talking about today is women in agriculture and the journey for these women that are in agriculture, and then, kind of how things have changed and some things of that nature. So, why don't you just start out and just talk about your journey and why you even went into agriculture and where it all started and just take us through that journey with you.
All right. Well, I'll be glad to. And as David alluded to earlier, I've been in it for a little while. I started out, of course, I was not raised on a farm. specifically. Now, I'm one generation removed. My grandfather, who is from Meade County, had the first finishing floor for hogs in that county. And so that's kind of where I got my start, was their love for agriculture. Mm-hmm. And I did spend a lot of time on that family farm growing up. And so I lived in a small town of Irvington, which is in Breckenridge County, and still live in Breckenridge County today, even though I work here in Grayson County. And I, you know, it's one of those things that I grew up in the center of town, but mm-hmm. my longing was on that farm. And so anytime I could get out, I did that. And I'd ride around with in the farm truck and go to Granny and Papaw's and spend most of my days. In fact, growing up, that's what I did. So I got involved in 4-H when I turned 9. In fact, my elementary school teacher and her son, which David, you knew Brian Butler, but mm-hmm. he was my, of course, we were kin to them distantly. And she said, you know, we need to get you in 4-H and we're going to get you a pig. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. So we did. And so that was my first experience, was showing, I was a novice kid at the state fair back when you could, you know, just show up and have a pig. And I fell in love with it instantly. I mean, I really did. I fell in love with it. And I still have that little picture of me with my little red ribbon and my blue jean shirt, you know, and times have changed. Yeah. The pigs have changed. Yeah. And so I started out then and fell in love with it. And in fact, you know, you all are going to have Warren Beeler as a guest, or maybe did. And he, the next year, my first hogs that I actually purchased on my own were from his sale. And yeah. so we came down here to Caneyville to his farm, and it was just like a big family. I mean, they treated us like family. It was great. And so I got two pigs from him, a spot and a blue butt. And that's where it started. And so I raised those, and them, and then my sister came up right after me, and we raised livestock, showed pigs. And my sister later on showed cattle too, because my aunt and uncle had a farm, and their sons wanted to raise cattle. Mm-hmm. And so she got a little bit more experience in that than I did. But I did love it. I enjoyed it. My uncle and aunt, they raised tobacco. So I was involved in all of that. Wrote a lot of setter, could not top it. Couldn't do any of that, but it was, yep. I really did gain an appreciation for it, you know, showing the livestock, right, going up in the livestock club in 4-H, doing the speaking contest. That all just instilled a passion, a work ethic in me that, you know, a lot of kids don't get these days. Now, you know, my kids don't do it specifically. They're around the farm because my in-laws, they have a farm, but that there's just something about that you know, a lot of kids don't get these days. And mm-hmm. so I really did, and I still do it now. My kids don't show livestock, but I'm still involved in it. And I still go to the state fair and the North American. My grandfather did pass away in December of 2022. And so, you know, I've struggled a little bit with, he was the reason why I'm so involved in agriculture. Sure. And so that's important to me.
Absolutely.
And absolutely. So yeah, that's, I give a lot of my credit to him and my yeah. grandmother for that. Yeah. And
I can relate to that yeah. too, because of course my father, you know, I grew up on a farm. Mm-hmm. He was a grain farmer. That's why I always say I'm a grains girl. I'm not the livestock person.
And I'm not as much grains as I was. Now, they did have corn and beans, but, you know, tobacco and livestock were our thing.
Yeah,
and
we had tobacco. I grew up with corn, soybeans, and tobacco. And, you know, there's been a joke with Jay, David, and I, you know, about me not being the livestock person of the group. And we've had a lot of fun with that, haven't we, David?
Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
I have learned a lot, too, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I can relate to what you're saying, because, you know, my dad farmed, and I have said before, I always loved living in the country. Mm-hmm. I always loved that life. But I didn't really appreciate growing up on a farm and agriculture until I was a little older. You know, and when I say a little older, I mean in high school. But,
I agree.
You know, sometimes I was like, we got to go to the field again. We got to take supper to the field, you know, yeah. almost like, really, you know, but, you know, now I wouldn't take anything for that. But my dad passed away mm-hmm. back in September, and, you know, agriculture is a special thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that those of us that are involved in agriculture, whether you grew up on a farm, directly on a farm like I did, or if you grew up with maybe not right there on the farm, but you were there every chance you got.
Yeah.
It's just, it's something special that, you really can't really put into words. It's hard to put into words. Same with you, David. I mean, it is. It's hard to put into words, and it's like it's a part of you. Mm-hmm. At that point, it is a part of you. Yep. And regardless where you go from that point, you're going to be connected some way. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't actively farm.
Yep.
But I'm involved in farming and agriculture every day of my life.
Well, you know, and that's all of us. And Whitney and my son were pretty close to the same age.
I think
age.
A year or two apart.
Yeah, and so I remember Whitney when she was very little, coming up in the livestock program. But, you know, my son's kids and her kids are involved in sports and ball and all that kind of stuff. And though they're not involved in the livestock industry as much as I want that, you know, it's not necessarily maybe something that they want, but there are other ways to get those kind of the work ethic, the winning and losing, whether you're a gracious loser and an humble winner. You know, there's other ways to get that besides livestock. Livestock is just something that was fun for us to do.
Sure.
You know, but sports kind of does the same thing, but you know, we always like to come back to those livestock courses because it's always a great family thing.
Yes.
It really and truly is.
It really is. And I was going to add on to that because, you know, when you were talking about your family and being raised around that, you know, I can go anywhere and I'm going to find a connection to somebody that's in agriculture. Mm-hmm. So the idea that I know, and where I am now in extension kind of comes back to where I started in the livestock. I've known David almost my entire life. Warren, I've known almost my entire life. A lot of the connections that I have these days are because of where I started and because of my agriculture connections. You know, I think that when I look at who all is involved in leadership and where I went to in college at UK, you know, I got my animal science degree, and a lot of the people that I took classes with were kids that I knew in 4-H and FFA, were kids that I knew of that were in the farming community. And I still have some of those connections today. And then, you know, a lot of the professors and the specialists that I work with I was a student. And so having that, and having that work ethic of, okay, or having that responsibility of, okay, I've got something to do. I need to get it done. And let's work, you know, and the servant leadership as well. You know, I tell everybody at the end of the day, I'm a servant leader. I want to know what I can do to help you.
That's right.
And I think that's why I love this job so much and why I was drawn to extension.
And that's a calling.
It's not
made for everybody.
No, that's right.
And coming from somebody that was in extension and I left extension and came back, you know, that was the thing that I really missed was helping people and being able to help them every day. You know, that's one thing I really missed. So it really is a calling. It's not something that, you know, and you're doggone sure not going to get rich doing this.
No.
So if you're listening out there and going, I think I'd like to be an extension agent. I'd like to make a lot of money. Not going to happen. But that's okay. The riches that we get are in other ways.
That's right.
For sure.
Absolutely.
I agree. Because, you know, we all get to help people in all facets of agriculture, too. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not just working with those, you know, big grain farmers or those big, you know, cattle farms. I mean, we're working with everybody, and it doesn't matter if you have two cows or you have 200 mama cows or whatever. Right. And I mean, and I think that what makes our jobs really rewarding is the fact that we can help those folks be successful. We can sometimes it's just a little change. It's not that we're going in there and redoing everything or telling you everything you're doing wrong. A lot of times it's just they come to us because, you know, they know that there's just a little something missing. And when we can kind of tweak that a little bit and help them and be on that path and then see them start to really succeed and make a big difference in their operation, you know, that is something special for us that we get to do. And we get to do that with a lot of different folks. And I think that's a pretty cool job.
I agree. I started in this position. Of course, when I graduated at UK in 2009, I graduated in 2009. I can't remember. The years get past me these days.
It gets faster.
Such a young person. such a young cook.
But when I started, I interned. A lot of people, I made a lot of connections at the Beef Council too when I worked there. Yeah. And so it's interesting to me to see those connections and how they've kind of come full circle. But, you know, when I started there and I was working with, I did a lot of education and a lot of producer communication. I really enjoyed the producer communication side. And so I think that that's why, going back to that servant leadership there, you know, those were my people. And so I could work, I could talk to them. You know, I could talk to consumers all day long. I can talk to anybody. I could talk to a brick wall. And you know that. But
that's another thing that extension agents can usually do.
Yeah, we can talk to people. And that's what I enjoyed. And so whenever this position in extension came open, I thought, you know, this is what I want to do. And of course, I had interned too. I think that a lot of times I'm going to tell anybody that it has the opportunity to do some sort of internship in the area that you think you want to do, try it out, because it'll tell you yes or no whether you want to do it. And so I interned with 4-H. Yeah, in Brett County. And I've learned very quickly, I am not a 4-H agent.
Yep.
I appreciate.
Absolutely.
Oh, appreciate me too. That position.
Yes.
Me it too. Is not for me. Not for me. So by doing that internship, I realized I want to work with the adults, not the students. And that's great. Well, I will still work with youth. I enjoy doing it, but it's not what I do every day. I can, I can pick and choose what I want to do. And I really did enjoy working with the producers. And so now that I'm in extension, I was like, that's for me. That's for me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I probably could have told you probably didn't want to.
Well, and
knowing you as long as I have.
Once again, when you're a student, they give you an internship and you're they're going to pick you, send you somewhere.
Yep.
And in fact, I was lucky enough that Carol, who was in Breckenridge County, called me and I've known her forever. She said, hey, would you be interested in an internship in Breck County? And I was like, that'd be great. I can go home for the summer, live for free, get paid.
Exactly.
But it was a very eye-opening experience. Now, as much as I did, and Lynette at the time was a 4-H agent, she's now their FCS agent, and she is amazing, and she was so good. And I had to go to camp. I had to do the youth thing. I realized, and then I did spend some time with the other areas as well, but I did, when I went with Carol, I was like, this is it. This is what I want to do. Yeah. Now, I didn't have all the answers, but I did know that that's what I want to do. Going back to we don't have all the answers, but I can find them.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's the most important thing. That's the great thing about extension. You don't have to have all the answers. I mean, and the good thing about the university is we've got so many specialists in so many different fields that we can call some. We don't have to be an expert on something. We just have to know who to call.
Yeah.
And then we've got an expert at our fingertips. That's a big advantage of extension.
And there's agents around us, too, that we can call, too. I mean, there's, like we had mentioned on several podcasts, there's 120 extension offices in the state of Kentucky. Now, there may be some vacancies, where there may not be an ag agent in your county at that time. But there will be, and I think too, we're not going to know everything. And and if you're listening and you're thinking again that you may want to go into extension as a career and be an ag agent, and and I think that's a great career. I have thoroughly enjoyed my career, and still enjoy my career as an ag agent. But you cannot go in thinking that you're gonna know everything and that you can be all things to all people, because you will be disappointed and you will be overwhelmed and you will not like it. And so you got to know that going into it, because you're not gonna know everything, but you do have to know how to get that answer, and that's part of it. And knowing the people around you, knowing those specialists, and really taking the time to learn how to get the information that you need to get to your people.
Right. And Vicki, it's interesting you say that, because as a new agent, I think one of the worst things you can do is tell somebody you know the answer and you give them the wrong answer.
Right.
And so, because we're not talking about, in some instances, but in some cases you're talking big economic decisions. And so let's not get too not conceited, that's not the word, but like don't think that you know it all. Overconfident, that's yeah. a good word. Overconfident. I'm probably too much at second guessing myself sometimes, but I want to make sure that my answer is the most accurate that I can give that person coming in, because mm-hmm. they're relying on me and they're putting their trust in me to give them accurate information. So I'm going to do what I can. Now, yeah. I'm not going to 100%. Don't get me wrong, right. but I do think that that we as agents have to, you know, that's part of what we do.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. And I think, you know, regardless of what career you go in, you know, honesty is one of those things that if you don't know, you're going to get a lot more respect from somebody if you say, you know, I don't know the answer to that, mm-hmm. but I will find the answer to this and I will call you back. And then you need to do that.
I have a question. How long do you have to be here before you're considered not a new agent anymore? Because I've been here a few years, but I still try to claim it.
Hey, if they'll still let you, you know.
I think it's run out.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure. Because, you know, that's what I used for a really long time was, I'm new. And when I started, going back to, you know, getting my start in extension, I started in Hancock County. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've had Evan on, but he took my spot when I came here. And I was the first agent here in 44 years. So Jack retired after working for 44 years here. Mm-hmm. And so think about that many years of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I had to come in here and go, I don't know that much information. And so, you know, I had to learn real quick to be like, I don't have that answer. I will call you back. I promise I will get you the information, but I do not have that off the top of my head. Yep. So that's been.
Well, and I will say too, as far as being women in agriculture, mm-hmm. I started back a few years before you did, Whitney. I started my career in agriculture in 1995. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I was a crop consultant. I worked for Miles Farm Supply, and I was a crop consultant. And there were no women in ag, you know, as far as.
Not in that, those positions.
Not in that position. Right. I mean, yeah, right. Exactly. Thank you for finishing that for me.
Right.
But, you know, there wasn't in that position and none around me. And I remember when I started, you know, I thought, you know, I'm just going to I know that I'm going to have two big hurdles to get over. One, it didn't really matter if I was male or female, you're going to have that hurdle to get over. Because when you're new, regardless of where you are, you're going to have to prove yourself to the clientele that you're serving, whether that is if you're selling something or whether it's, you know, even as an ag agent. I mean, you people are going to have to know.
You got to sell yourself.
You've got to sell yourself, and people have to know that they can trust you and that you are going to do what you say you're going to do. And, you know, so you have that hurdle to get over regardless if you're male or female. But then I also knew at that time in 1995 that I had an additional hurdle to get over because I was a female in a male world industry.
Pretty well in all male world.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. And so I went into that job not thinking, well, they're just going to, you know, they're going to have to get over it or whatever, because I knew that was not going to serve me well, nor did I want to be that person.
Right.
And so I knew going in that I had to have that. I knew that going in. So my attitude was already, I'm going to do the very best that I can do to prove myself, to make a positive name for myself, not in, you know, awards and things like that, but that I gained the respect of the producers around our customers. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you do that, I think those people that you serve realize the work ethic that you have. Mm-hmm. They see that, okay, mm-hmm. I think this is going to work, mm-hmm. you know. And I would say that for anybody that's thinking of women that's thinking about going into an ag career, there is so much opportunity out there.
There is.
There really is. But you will... you'll still have that second hurdle that you're going to have to get over. And I'm going to tell you to embrace that. and embrace the fact that you've got that second hurdle to get over. Don't take offense to it, because I promise you it's going to make you better at your job.
That's right.
I promise you that it's going to, and it's going to serve you well as you move forward. And you know, Whitney, you came in a little bit later than I did, but do you feel like was that kind of the, did you feel that way too?
Yes, I can feel that. I feel exactly, I know where you're coming from. And like I said, going back to the way I was raised, my granddad raised three girls, and then my mom and dad raised two girls. And so we did not lack confidence, and you stand up for what you do. You be confident in what you do, and you're, you know, be strong-willed about it. And so I have the same sort of situation happen. You know, I was a, in my graduating, I will say the tables kind of started to turn a little bit by the time I was coming up through high school. If you'll notice, there was a trend that was kind of starting to be set about the 2000s, when there were a lot more females starting to enter into the agriculture world. Now, I was in FFA at the time, and I think my senior year, there was one male in our officer team. The rest of it was female. And that was the first time that's ever happened. And so that was kind of interesting. And so, and be that as it may, that's just the way that it worked out. And I went on to my animal science graduating class. I think we were right at 50% male and female. And so that's been switched. That's changed a little bit. I think there's maybe a little more than that. But then also we've switched. UK has gone to equine and animal science. So we were all combined at that point in time. And so there was a lot of females in that horse or the equine field at that point in time. So that was a tad skewed, but still, nonetheless, we were around 50%. And then as I became an agent, you know, and I will go back and say, you have been a very big mentor to me. I mean, as far, because I started in Hancock County and we were in that area, that Green River area. Right. And so you were a very big mentor to me. Carol, I think, was one of the very first ag agents in the state.
I think she was the first.
Yeah. And of course, she was in my county growing up. And so I had, you know, I had some strong mentors that were female. But coming into that, there was a little bit of not hesitancy, because I had already been working with some producers, but just the fact that I have to be confident, but also be willing to accept the fact that they may not feel the same way that I do, or that there's maybe not a sentiment of, well, she's just a, you know, she's just a female ag agent, what's she know? You know, and I don't mean to be that way. Not everybody, and I'm not speaking that everybody was that way, but there are a few, there's a minority out there that that did feel that way. And so, proving my point, you know, I just tried to do the best that I could, admit if I was wrong or that if I didn't know something. And I think that is, once again, it's one of the hardest things to do as a, you know, as an agent or anybody, you know, that, hey, I'm wrong or I don't know the answer to that. So just working through that, you got to admit it. And then working with the producers in my county starting out was really, you know, for the most part, they were all very accommodating. I was really surprised. And so, and it did help that I was in a small county to start out. And I do attribute some of my success to that, because I was able to kind of get some ground and get started and give myself some grace to get started. And the producers in that county and the people in that county were very welcoming as far as that was concerned. And I think they were just happy that, because they'd been without an ag agent for a little while. So there was that too. But then when I moved to Grayson County, which I was in Hancock County 2.5 years. And so I moved to Grayson County in 15, and that was still very bigger county. There was, you know, I think that there was, everybody welcomed me, but even, you know, there were still a few out there that were like, oh, I'm not sure about it. Not sure about it.
Right.
Because like I said, Jack had been here for 44 years, but I will say this, Jack was one of my biggest cheerleaders coming in. And in fact, we overlapped for a month. He retired in August. I started in July. I started at our state meeting, actually.
I think
and
I
we were
that.
Both there. Yeah. And so we were, you know, he took me around for a month and we just visited farms. We visited farmers. We talked to people. And it also helped that his daughter is the 4-H agent here too. And so I had known her previously through a couple of things, and it helped people to understand, hey, she's got a good, like, she knows what she's doing. She's here. Trust her, you know? And so I do think that it took a little bit for some, but I mean, for the majority of people, they welcomed me and they were very, and Warren was one of my biggest cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. Obviously Warren's here in Caneyville, and you know, I think that he was a very big proponent of me being able to be here and talking yep. people into being like, hey, mm-hmm. she's going to work out okay. So yep. knowing your people, having your people in your corner really does help. And then being able to prove yourself. And I did kind of hit the ground running because Jack did help me get started mm-hmm. Within that month. And, right. you know, that was just learning to deal with it and say, look, if you're not willing to accept me as a female in right. agriculture, then that's on you. I will do what I can to help you, and I'm not going to not serve you.
Right.
But hey, if that's okay, then that's fine.
Well, I think you can't push yourself on that. And you know, and David, you know, you've been in the supply business that I was in at the beginning, mm-hmm. when I was a crop consultant as an agronomist there.
Yep.
And you know, you've been on that side of the fence mm-hmm. and you've been an extension agent. And so, you know, as we talk about being women in agriculture and how working and, you know, how it is for us, sometimes we forget that it's a change for mm-hmm. the men producers and uh-huh. the fellow That's ag right. agents. And you know, and I know, you know, it's changed for you since you started your career in agriculture and mm-hmm. how that has shifted. And of course you have a daughter that is a woman in ag.
That's right.
You know, now yep. too. And, yep. And so seeing it from, you know, you got a unique view there, you know, from working and then also, you know, absolutely. Raising that confident daughter
yeah.
to be able to be That's have right. a career in agriculture That's as well. Right.
I guess and we were all talking about this before we started talking, but it really did change my mindset when you have a daughter.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I mean, it makes a big difference in the world because you don't want your child to not be able to do anything else can do. And I don't care what, if they're a male, if they're a female,
That's right.
you know, in especially in today's world, you know, mm-hmm. it's changed a lot since I was a kid. You didn't even hear of this.
Right.
When we were a kid and I say that me and Vicky. Vicky's mm-hmm. close. She's
yeah, I'm pretty, close. I am. I'm close.
But you know, you didn't hear about any of this happening. But, you know, I've always told Ellie, I said, you know, you can do anything you want to if you set your mind to it. And That's my right. mom told me that.
Yes.
You
yes.
know, and so I shared that with her. And, you know, and I believe that with anybody. Whitney, actually, in 1988, mm-hmm. the Breckinridge County FFA officer team was all female.
Oh, was it? Okay.
And they stomped our little butt at the parliamentary
procedure. That's why he remembers.
That's why I remember that.
Listen, we had a pretty tough parley team.
That's why mm-hmm. I remember that. We That's did. Exactly why I yeah. remember that. And, you know, you want to talk about a wake-up call.
Uh-huh.
You know, that was back before girls were really, really
active in it.
Active mm-hmm. in FFA. And, I mean, they put a whooping on us, and I remember that to this day. And I remember standing up there on the stage beside, and I forget who the girl was that mm-hmm. was the president, but anyway, she was a good-looking thing. Mm-hmm. I do remember that. But, you know, and it was, you know, so we've come from that all the way to where we're at now. And, you know, when I tell Ellie all the time, you know, I said, and I'll tell anybody, I tell my granddaughter or whoever when she gets big enough, you know, you can do anything you want to do, and I don't care what it is. Mm-hmm. You can do anything you want to do if you set your mind to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that way. And I don't care if you're male or female. And we've gotten to where we interact with females in our job as much as we do males almost.
Yes,
you know,
that's
depending
right.
on.
Right.
Because they're in farming, they're in agriculture, they're mm-hmm. raising livestock, they're doing all
they
the stuff.
They are. And that's an interesting thing. I think as much of it as we are in extension mm-hmm. becoming, there's more female ag agents. I think that there's a lot more females farming in
oh, absolutely.
In various aspects. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, I've got several in my county.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because, I think that there's just, I don't know why, but I feel like we have like doubled female ag producers mm-hmm. in my county, in my span, which I've been here several years now.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that's just a sign of the times a little bit, is that they're not afraid mm-hmm. to do that. They feel like they're confident enough that they can do it. And, you know, I more power to them. And yeah. they're willing to reach out for the resources yeah. and go from there.
And that mentality from the men
mm-hmm.
is encouraging them
Absolutely.
To do that.
Absolutely.
Is different than it used to be.
Right. Too. My husband is my biggest cheerleader. Mm-hmm. My dad was my biggest cheerleader. I mean, still is. And not only other people, but the males in my life. And I'm raising a son that is going to respect and appreciate the female you know, mm-hmm. knowledge and background, because I'm raising a daughter that has younger sister that's going to be the same way. I mean, she's going to be confident and strong. Mm-hmm. And you're exactly right. Having that backbone, having that help and that support does.
Well, and I think, you know, it's like you started off talking at the very beginning about, you know, being at your grandfather's farm. Mm-hmm. And you know, he was a huge influence on he introduced you to that part of agriculture, but he also, and you didn't even know it at the time, but he was also teaching you to be that confident person, mm-hmm. and teaching you that you can do this. You can do anything that anybody else can do. And, you know, and I feel the same way about my dad. I agree. My dad has always been my biggest cheerleader, and he's also my brother's biggest, mm-hmm. you know, cheerleader, because sure. he farms. My brother farms, and he farmed with my dad. Mm-hmm. He farmed, you know, as a child. He helped on the farm. Then he was able to buy in, and he was a partner with my dad. And then when my dad retired, then he bought, you know, my dad out, and now he's farming by himself. But he could not have farmed. Mm-hmm. There's no question. He could not have farmed if it wasn't for our dad.
Yeah.
And he knows that. And so he was his biggest cheerleader, mm-hmm. too. He was both of ours. And when you have that, that does give you the confidence, you know, to move forward and to be able to do that. And, you know, I think that another reason I think that we're seeing, you know, maybe more women producers, farmers, is that I think it goes back to what we've talked about in other episodes of our podcast, is that wanting to go back in a way to growing our own food, mm-hmm. and producing our own cattle and you know, or you know, like our hogs or whatever. And it's given women the opportunity to be able to get into farming in a different way than what my brother came up farming. Yeah. My brother was able to farm because he had tobacco. He had his own tobacco, but then he also did commercial trucking. He hauled grain commercially, but he also did over the road. And, you know, and I'm not saying that women's not going to do that. I can tell you I wouldn't have done that.
Oh, there's a lot of them doing it these days. Yeah.
But I do think that there's a lot of opportunities now for women to farm that maybe didn't think of before.
And let's not dismiss the role of the moms.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
In this deal, because and I know your mom.
Oh. Yes.
She was so important.
Oh,
Mama's a spitfire.
Yeah, and that's where she gets a lot of it. I have no doubt in my mind.
Yes.
But,
yes.
You know, it does take a family.
It does.
And regardless of whether your mom and dad are together or not, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, they all try to encourage kids to do whatever they can.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, I remember my granddad, you laugh, you talk about him. We didn't cut corners either. And if you didn't do it right, you did it again. And so I just remember, you know, of course, having the hogs. They were at mm-hmm. Papaw's farm, and Granny would... I would be up there early in the morning, and she worked at a juvenile detention center, my 88-pound granny, okay? She'd get home, and she'd be like, "You been down there working them things yet?" And I'm like, "Yes, Granny." And so I'd go down there, and we'd work. And then come time for the state fair, I think I was 16, okay? I just got my license that summer, okay? I couldn't get my license until June, and then I got grounded. And
couldn't walk, couldn't go
until, so I spent all my time at the farm that summer. Yep. But anyways, the story is that we packed the trailer, we loaded the trailer, we washed the hogs, we clipped the hogs, we did all of it. Papaw was merrily there. Dad was merrily there. Dad was like, "I'm the truck driver," but not that year. I got to drive down Crittenden Drive. You know how it is getting into the state fair. Mm-hmm. Papaw was like, "You're driving." And I was like, "What?" And he said, "You're driving." And I said, "No, really?" He goes, "No, you're driving." And I said, "Okay." Downtown traffic in the afternoon, because that was when you hauled in the evening.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm sweating bullets. And so it's one of those things that he did not give you any, he didn't cut you any corners, and
a lot of kids have learned to drive a truck and a trailer in a a tough place to do that.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I guess that experience really makes you a little bit better driver if you don't hit nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it makes you a little bit better a driver.
That's right.
And a lot of ag kids learn how to drive straight shift vehicles, too, that you don't think about now.
Yeah.
And I know that I learned how to drive one when my brother had, it was a Ford Ranger he had.
Yeah.
That, you know, and so here we went out into the middle of the field.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he left me out there and said, "Well,
get home."
You know, he gave me a little tutorial now and told me how to, but I had to get myself back. You know, and so some of those lessons you get to learn out on the farm that it's hard to do that in town.
That's right.
You know, when we were kids, of course, we picked up a lot of square bale hay. That was before round balers were.
Hey,
really
listen,
popular.
I've had my fair share of square baling.
So,
don't worry.
So, you know, and then tobacco and all that different kinds of stuff. So we learned how to drive on a tractor, and then every once in a while you'd have a truck out there hooked to something. You drove the truck. You just did. You put it in granny, and you just
rolled on.
You know, and so I think we miss some of that these days. But you know, I think all folks need to learn how to do. My wife came up. And she used to show horses, and she drove a truck and trailer as good as anybody else does, and still can, you know.
I can't necessarily say that I'm very good at, I can drive the tractor, I'm just not very, or I'm sorry, the truck and trailer, I'm just not the greatest at backing it. And that's one thing that my husband and I can argue over. He raised on a farm. We still, you know, his family still has, they've got mama cows, and he can back and drive and tractor, truck, anything with wheels, he can do it. But he gives me heck every time I try to back up. He owns a lawn mowing business. Mm-hmm. So y'all talking about mowing grass. He's been doing it since March.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's like, "How come you can't back?" I'm like, "Cause you're watching me. That's why."
I was getting ready to say, and what's really good is when you're trying to back a trailer and you got about 15 people back there that
you
know
different directions.
Yes. And they're all standing back there. Y'all envision, you know, I know y'all are going to be able to put this picture in your head. They're all standing back there with their arms crossed and just looking at you. And then you'll see them laugh a little bit, and you know, and then you get nervous and all that.
See, y'all have got to get this figured out. There was a lady that was showing pigs when my kids were little, and she would drive up to the state fair. She would drive up there, and the animal health folks would be standing there, and she would kind of get out and giggle and grin and bat her eyes
and have somebody else
back it in. So you either had to figure out one or two ways. You had to figure out how to do it yourself, or you had to figure out how to do that.
That's right.
So it's going back to, you don't have to know everything. Right. You just got to know how to get the job done.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, I will say that my husband drives a semi, and he also does some mowing. And there's one thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to tell him how to back a trailer, because I can promise you he can put a trailer anywhere he wants to.
Oh, mine can too, and I appreciate that. Yeah. And a lot of days it's like I'll get it there. You can back it up.
Yeah, I just he can back a trailer. He's a pro at it. So
absolutely.
But well, as you all know, we always wind up our show each week with a timely tip, and so this week our timely tip is: women have been a critical part of farming operations for many years. Take the many opportunities to use your voice to empower, improve, and help everyone to continue to build on the legacy of Kentucky agriculture and beyond. So, Whitney, do you have any more closing comments that you'd like to make?
Yeah, that's absolutely. That is promoting women in agriculture, promoting all agriculture is important. Specifically, if you do have female agriculturalists in your communities, support them, which a lot of times if you're doing that, you're supporting local. I know in my community in Grayson County, there are a lot of them, and they're big time farming, and then they're the ones that are just, you know, selling at the farmer's market. But big and wide, you know, support them all. And I think that, you know, that's a great thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We all got to work together, and that's the main thing I think everybody needs to remember. To make this thing go, we've got to be all pulling in the same direction and all supporting each other.
Always works better that way. When we can work together and help the people we serve and help each of us be successful in our own ways, and it works better that way.
And I want to thank you guys, because like I said, I've known David almost my entire life, and he's had a pretty integral role in things that I've done, and you as well as being a mentor, because once again, you were kind of, I call her, she's my agent mom is what she's referred to around home. Cause when we go on trips and do things, Kyle goes, your agent mom going?
That's right.
So,
yeah.
That's right.
Well, I have enjoyed being the agent mom and hope to be that for several more years.
I hope so too.
Cause we're glad to have you and you're doing a great job. So
thank
you. Keep that up and, you know, you're doing well.
You're a good role model for other folks.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate it. And I hope to be that. And I, like I said, I've had some good ones that have helped me along.
Good deal.
Thank you so much. And we want to, want to thank you, Whitney, for joining us and also our host for this week's information. And thanks to our listeners for joining in. We hope you've enjoyed our show and will make plans to join us again next week for our next episode. And until then, remember, Kentucky Ag matters.